The Armchair Illini Podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best online ticketing site you can find. Why? Well, because it pulls from every other available ticketing site to give you the best price possible. There's no need anymore to check out 10 different ticketing sites to find the deal you're looking for. SeatGeek basically does all of that for you. Not only that, but SeatGeek has a value system sorted by color to let you know if you are actually getting a good deal on your tickets or not. You can sort by best value, lowest price, and more. Now here's the best part. If you use code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, you can get $20 off your first order. So what are you waiting for? Attend your next unforgettable sporting event or concert by checking out SeatGeek today. Again, use promo code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, and get $20 off your first order.
Josumu, top of the key, driving. The Big Ten Tournament Champion.
Frazier steps into the shot and knocks it down.
Chris Murray, three ball, no! Tipped around, that is it! Illinois shares the Big Ten title!
Bro.
Ayo!
Dude, that was too much stress, but it was well worth it. Man.
Finally worth it, man. Thank goodness.
Because usually that ruins your week. Like that Tuesday night where you lose by like four. Man.
Yeah, I'm used to Marcus Carr hitting that game winner at the end.
Or like Coleman gets a technical or something.
To end it the other day. Finally.
Whew. Especially after the Virginia and the Maryland games, where you kind of just like, you know, everything kind of won against you. But Jesus.
Oh, man. I don't really know where to start other than Illinois won in overtime, which is awesome. Thank you all for listening. Welcome to the Armchair Illini Podcast, Twitter Space Edition. Huge win, obviously, after a few tries of trying to win close games, not working out. Illinois finally gets over the hump in a game where it felt like in the second half they didn't really belong in it. You know, they weren't playing very well. Turnovers, very stagnant offensively. But they clawed their way back in it. I'm still, like, kind of shocked right now, as you can probably tell. But just happy. It feels great.
Dude, the feeling, like, on a national stage,
yes,
in the Garden –
yes.
You know, I think, you know, the 247 guys tweeted, all the big guys, all the big national media guys were there.
Yeah.
And to beat number two Texas, that's, you know, it's hard to pick a bigger win, you know, like in the non-conference schedule that Underwood's had. Obviously, he's had big wins, like Big Ten tournament, all that good stuff. But this is, I can't think of a non-conference game where it was like, dang. Like the UCLA one, like, was tops at the point. But
yeah.
Honestly, this one, I think, takes the cake, you know, Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, it doesn't get much better than that. And to go 2-2 in your UCLA, you know, Virginia, Maryland, Texas kind of run there, like, that's super encouraging. You know, 1-3, you know, would have been disappointing, but, you know, you're in all those games. None of those losses hurt your resume really at all. So, wouldn't have been too upset if they had lost. Obviously, it's disappointing, but to win like this on this stage – against that team, with everybody, all the eyes on you in a big environment. Oh, man, it just feels so good. It's awesome.
And you were dead in the water, like in the second half. 10 minutes ago, I was about to turn the game off, as I usually do once things kind of start going out of hand. You know, the refs made obviously their questionable calls, and things were looking pretty bleak. And then Meyer picked up his fourth foul.
Yeah.
And you were like, all right, well, here it comes. And then Shannon wasn't having his best game, but Jaden Epps, man, I think that's all that kind of needs to be said.
Jaden freaking Epps, dude. And after the Maryland game, you know, where he was in over Sky Clark at the end, and we were like, what was that for? What was that about? And he missed kind of the shot to tie it or to win. I can't remember when it was exactly. He missed the open three, and that was a bummer. But, like, I think having that experience, being in that moment, he knew what it felt like to miss, And so it was just awesome to see him literally in the next game get a shot to redeem himself and to hit that huge corner three and huge free throws down the stretch. And I'm super impressed by Epps. And I think having another guy besides Shannon, because Shannon showed obviously in overtime that he can still be the guy, but obviously with the eye right now, jump shot looked a little off at the beginning of the game. I'm sure he was amped up, but to have another guy maybe who can go get you a bucket when you just need a bucket at some point this year, hopefully that's Epps. Meyer showed a bit of that tonight, but couldn't be happier for Jaden Epps tonight after the way he kind of redeemed himself from the Maryland game.
And bro, when Coleman fouled Marcus Carr in the three,
dude,
there were so many moments where it was like, it's here we go.
No, dude, I got all ball. And I'm like, dude, you
definitely did it. And then the timeout, oh my God.
Yeah.
I wanted to disappear after the timeout. Yeah. Just Jesus Christ. And then the two free throws.
One. It wasn't a Chris Webber moment. But
oh, for real. But, you know, it sets up Illinois for – to finish the rest of the non-conference schedule pretty well. I think they got one more legitimate matchup against Missouri. Missouri's undefeated, but they haven't played anyone of legitimacy. So that's going to be interesting. The bragging rights game will actually have two pretty solid teams at the time.
Yep.
And then I think you play Penn State this Saturday. I don't have the schedule open in front of me, but Penn State's a good little squad. So I'm hoping, they don't get too emotional from this. I think Underwood's teams aren't usually like that, so I don't worry too much. But, man, this is it feels like football where it was you're winning a lot, and all the games that you've lost, you're right there. You had chances to win. So it's really insane that both the sports are doing that.
Yeah.
Because usually you're just used to, the 63-0 loss or, losing by 15 or something like John Gross did, so... Obviously thankful, but goddamn, what a game.
What a game. We haven't even talked about Matthew Meyer yet, who finally had his moment, his game, hitting step back threes left and right. Honestly, him and Coleman towards the end of the first half, playing a two-man game at the top of the key, and that was working for a little bit. I know he got in foul trouble late, but I thought he played really good defense. With the four fouls down the stretch, I know a Texas guy hit a really nice shot over top of him, even though he was playing great defense. But very, very, very happy for him to have his first kind of breakout moment on this stage. Hopefully that kind of propels him into the rest of the year and he can kind of put the rough start behind him. But just feel good all the way around. It would have sucked to lose the Matthew Meyer game just because he hasn't broken out yet this year, and the one time he does, if you lost, that would have been a little disappointing. But he carried you for stretches tonight, and that was nice to see.
Yeah, I think that's the guy that they went after in the portal for sure. And it's funny because Jaden Epps had 11 points, I believe, but it felt like he had 30.
Yeah,
those are some big buckets, and I think the Sincere Harris was pretty important in this one too.
Yeah,
so. It's good to see that guy healthy because I think, honestly, you kind of missed him in the Maryland game to kind of throw kind of a wrench at the opponent's offense. That's an important tool to have. So, man, I'm hyped, man. That was a top level, feeling win.
This is the best I felt after an Illinois basketball game since probably the Iowa one to win the Big Ten. But even then, there was
that was a rough game
almost because, one of the Murray brothers had a shot to win it at the end, and you're just kind of you're excited. But my initial reaction
was holy God.
Because that would have been a really bad mood otherwise. But
I think the Ohio State game in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah. The Ohio State game, even the Michigan game without Iowa, where we beat them by 20 or whatever, that was awesome. But this is just another one for Brett Underwood in his pocket of big wins and ones that I think we'll all look back on fondly. Weird to put it in that perspective already, but just for this team to win this game, it feels like a turning point after not being able to get over the hump against two other really good teams. to do it against this one, to claw your way back into it. You know, I would prefer that they don't give up 16 to 2 runs every time they play a good team, but I think they'll figure that out too eventually. But just to be able to claw back, get to overtime, even after the goaltending call went against you, which was just unbelievable. I had no idea how they stuck to the call, but it's fine. After that went against you, you know, you're down 5. Felt like that was a big turning point. But to keep clawing back, it just speaks volumes of the toughness of this team.
Yeah, and literally, I think the UCLA game that we won had a similar kind of run. I think we were down 12 or something to start the half.
Yeah.
And ended up clawing your way back. Obviously, Terrence Shannon went nuclear. But same idea here. I mean, you looked out of the water and it looked pretty bleak, but somehow was able to pull it back. So, like you said, really good. And I'm trying to think of, like, you know, before the season, it was like, oh, shoot, we're going to play these, like, big-time teams early in the season. But against all four, I mean, Maryland, I guess you can't really count it because no one really expected Maryland to be as good as they are. But against UCLA, Virginia, and Texas, you know, you've held your own at the very start. So, you know, it gives you reason to believe that this team can obviously do what they did last year or the last 2 years in the Big Ten, and then hopefully compete in March. Because, I mean, obviously once everyone, like, keeps healthy, I hope Shannon's eye gets better. I hope Meyer continues his good play. You know, I hope Sky Clark, Jaden Epps, all the freshmen get a little bit more acclimated. You know, I'm hoping Ty Rogers isn't a zero on offense like he kind of is right now, unfortunately. And, you know, I think with that being said, the sky's the limit for that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And if you, any of y'all listening, want to come up and speak, I know we already got one speaker on here, but just request and we'll bring you up to talk about the game. We love having y'all up here, but still just kind of in shock reacting to this crazy game. And one that, as Illinois fans, feels like we don't win too often when it feels like officiating is going the other way and it feels like the other team's hitting all the shots, but somehow our team found a way. And that's just such a great feeling.
And then I think I'm reading a stat where Brad Underwood's 12-5 against top 10 teams. It's unreal. Okay. Unreal. I hope we keep him, man. I hope we keep him for 20 plus years.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think that this win has set into me yet. Like, I'm not like, oh my God, did we seriously just beat the number 2 team in the nation mode yet? Like, I'm still, kind of processing this whole game.
Because that was stressful.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah, I was. I was in and out because I was listening to it on the radio, but I was also going back and forth by watching it live on Hulu because I had been at work today, and they allowed me to actually listen to the game. So I didn't quite get exactly what was going on just by listening to it. So I wasn't getting the full, like, scope of it.
Well, we were dead in the water. You know, when Matt goes down with 4 fouls and then Dane goes down with 4 fouls, I mean, I thought that was it. That's when we really started to lose our composure on offense. And then, hey, give credit to Brad. He rolled the dice and brought those guys back in with, what, like 6 or 8 minutes left in the half. And they played solid D and didn't foul out. And really, you know, Matt, you know, sort of went nuclear today and got us back into the game. So, I mean, you can see
the timeout. The timeout. I think, well, it made us down like 6 with like a minute left and then, God dang. I was like, oh my God, this is so classic. And then next thing you know, like Jaden Epps hits the shot. You're just like, damn.
Also, what a pass to get that over there. I thought for sure it was going to get tipped by the Texas defender that was standing close to Epps, but it floats just over his fingertip, and Epps is able to catch it in stride and knock it down. We haven't been making those shots yet this year, so it's just been nice to see Epps specifically have one go down. It's just huge.
And then Brock Cunningham decided to turn into Steph Curry for 4 or 6 minutes.
Yeah.
And somehow we were able to survive that. So, man.
No, legit though, like, Illinois was better than Texas in overtime. Like, I know, like, we had to claw our way back. We didn't look like the better team for most of the second half, But like legit, we were better than them in the in overtime. Like,
and it started with Terrence Shannon. You know, huge shot. And when he threw that out, I was like, oh shoot. And then it was a switch. Unreal.
When Epps shot that last shot, you know, before it went into overtime, I thought this was going to be a repeat of the Maryland games. Like, oh shit, we got Epps in the game again. He's going to shoot the three, miss it. And right before I was like, oh great, I'm going to have Epps be the clutch guy again. And he just tries the shot. I was like, oh my God, he's the clutch guy.
Yep. And that comes, you know, obviously I already mentioned off the heels of the Maryland game. And Brad said after that game, like, I want Epps to shoot that every single time. And so just to instill that confidence in him to when that moment comes, to trust his ability, to trust his confidence, and to take the shot. And then have the coach goes a long way.
Yeah, and then the TV camera panning to him drive the effing ball.
Yeah, that was great.
I think that might have helped with it too.
Yeah.
Honestly, dude, like I think you and I were talking about it. Like, it takes a special kind of soul to have to play for Underwood, honestly.
No, it's legit. Yeah, that's so true though. Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm sure at some point it's become just like, it becomes just like what is, but like,
it's like, all right, Brad.
Hey boys.
That would scare me every time.
Y'all hear me? Hey, long-time listener, first-time talker, just wanted to say one thing here. From what I'm hearing from a lot of people saying that was stressful, they didn't really set in yet. That's because we were not supposed to win this game. This was not a game we were supposed to win. We were supposed to learn from these games, so in February, March, we win those games. So this is a steal, 100%, and we just got to love it. Like, you know, house money. You rolled some crazy dice you weren't expecting, and let's live off of it. Let's play off of it. And shit, let's see what we can do.
Yeah, definitely.
I think, like, we talked about it before, like, the UCLA game, and we had a podcast episode. We're just saying, like, let's just see what happens, because none of these games ultimately, they can only help you, you know, whether you get blown out or, you know, lose closely like we did. You're kind of playing with house money because you know that this team is eventually going to click. It's a matter of when, because all the pieces definitely fit together. It's just a matter of, you know, developing that chemistry. So you played with house money and go 2-2, and you were in those two games. You know, I think a lot of people would take it. You know, you're a couple possessions away from, you know, going 3-1 for sure, and then even 4-0. So, you know, I think now you just have to like reset. Penn State's a very annoying team to play because they play really hard. They're like last year.
They just absolutely chuck threes.
Yeah, and I think last year that game was – it made me want to gauge my eyes out when we played Penn State at home. So it's a game you can't overlook for sure. And then, you know, you got to beat Maryland – or not Maryland, Missouri in the bragging rights game. So pretty successful so far, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, like, you know, those losses don't hurt you. You're playing with house money. These are freebies. And so to feel, you know, if we would have lost tonight, I think we all would have felt like, man, we're the best 6-3 team to ever play the game of basketball. So it's kind of nice, you know, to be 7-2 with a couple really good wins on the resume already and losses that don't hurt you. A lot of teams that schedule cupcake non-conferences, schedules Indiana, Missouri, a couple teams have really bad non-conference schedules. And so when we play those teams later, like, I feel good knowing that our guys have been, you know, tested and have lost close, have won close against some of the best teams in the country. And I think it should give this team some confidence to roll into whoever they're going to play and know that they're going to be competitive. And nothing but positives from this four-game stretch, even though you kind of lost a couple.
And I think we'll definitely be top 15, you know. Yeah. Beating Texas, neutral site game. Not too sure how the rest of the rankings have panned out. Obviously, I know Indiana lost to Rutgers, but that's not a terrible loss, losing at Jersey Mike's or the Rec. So I think we'll definitely be 14, 13, you know, in the next coming rankings. Not that that matters at this time of year, but it's pretty good to see, you know, this team kind of coming into its own early on. Because I think even before the season, we were talking about how Michigan really struggled, you know, being talented and then kind of came into their own. Yep, came, got into a Sweet 16 last year. But they sucked last year, like early on. And they kind of suck again, too, to be quite honest with you. I watched a little bit of their games. They suck. So that's also good to see. Because anytime Michigan sucked, it's good news.
It's always good. Yeah, I think a lot of the comps to Michigan, last year's Michigan team came up early. But this team looks way better than that Michigan one did early last year. So I feel pretty confident that that's not how the trajectory of this season is going to go.
Agreed, man.
When talking about Mizzou, I am not worried about them unless they're able to beat Kansas on Saturday. Because I'm looking at the schedule, and they only have two games prior to the regular season. Only two games that are tough, and that's Kansas this Saturday and then us on the 22nd.
Yeah, I mean, the Bragging Rights game is always weird just because it's a rivalry. So even on down years, you know, a team could always win. I mean, it's a little different for these guys because a lot of them, you know, we've got a lot of freshmen, a lot of new guys. So the rivalry might not mean as much to them as it would on, you know, previous teams. Like Trent Frazier, you know, was around for 5 years. And so that rivalry means a lot more. So it'll be interesting to see how this team does. I'd like Brad Underwood to start just absolutely annihilating Missouri every year. That would just be wonderful. That's kind of been that, and playing at Maryland have kind of been the two regular season weaknesses. I don't know. I think they'll be fine, but I would like them to win by 30.
If there's any flaw of Underwood besides the NCAA, sorry, Cheeseburger, but it's definitely the Maryland and like the Ohio State at home. Those are the two ones that have given him the most trouble.
Yep.
No, what I was going to say is if there was ever a team that I'm not that worried about against Mizzou, it's this one. Those games are always just punches in the face, dogfights. And with our defense and length, I like us in that type of matchup every time. It's the shooting teams like last year that I'm like, we're not going to shoot hot every time, and Mizzou is just going to do something crazy. So I feel good about that.
I need Sincere Harris to put a Missouri player on a big time poster in that game.
No, though, you did.
Armchair, I just want to say I love your content.
Hey, thanks.
And I wanted to talk about Sincere a little bit. I want him to be like the Monte from last year, the glue guy, defending the best player kind of thing, getting 20 minutes. Just and anytime he checks into the game, that's like a hype up for me.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he does the little things. He's always in the right place. I mean, he was battling down low. Yep. You saw when late in the game, when they on that Cunningham three in the corner, he even told RJ, he said, I fucking got that.
Yep.
You know, he had a guy, 6'11 guy on him down low, and he said, don't even worry about helping me. You know, yep. I had to contain, and I wasn't worried about that.
You know? I love Sincere. He's awesome, and I like the DeMonte comp. He's like DeMonte if
he was emotional.
If he was emotional and if he had like twice the hops. Like Sincere can jump out of the gym, which is always fun to see. It shows up every once in a while during a game. That big block down the stretch, just going up and – he had two big ones actually.
He just plays mad.
Yeah.
He just knows when to help. And he gets in the front court guy's shorts. I mean, Marcus Carr, he thought he got away from us going to fucking Texas, and now he's at Texas, and he had flashbacks of him at Minnesota.
Yeah.
Literally. But no, I think Sincere's that guy when, you know, shit's kind of going bad, like the UCLA game, right? We're down 14, you know, it looked like, oh, shit, here we go again. But then Sincere Harris comes in, starts pressing 94 feet, basically just throws a wrench into their rhythm, throws them off, plays harder than anyone. And I think that's a really good weapon to have, especially in March, when you're bound to at least have, like, a little bit of a lull. And he can just come in and just – it's like, you know, a shot of espresso,
yeah,
for lack of a better description. Yeah. So I think it's a really good piece to have, and I'm excited to see what he turns into, you know, once he's a junior, you know, gets a little bit of muscle on him, And I think the sky's the limit for him.
I don't know if this is actually a thing, but it felt like it during overtime. You know, we haven't talked about it much, I don't think, since, like, his first year. But the Fletch thing might be real. You know, Texas had guys cramping between every timeout during overtime. And so to have a team that's conditioned, at least it felt like it, they could have been cramping on the bench for all I know. But, like, it felt like we had a physical edge down the stretch as far as energy and you know, making extra passes and doing the extra things in overtime to kind of put the game away.
Yeah, I think honestly this team is mentally just tough, and yeah. I don't think I've been able to say that about past teams. You know, as good as all those teams in the past couple of years have been, especially even thinking back to, you know, 2 years ago, you know, Loyola popped us in the mouth, we wilted. Last year, I don't think it was as mentally a tough team. Just kind of talking about all the walls that they had. Because, yeah. Like, when we have walls, it's not that, okay, we're not playing hard. It's just we don't know how to execute, and we have, you know, freshmen running the offense. And, you know, you're putting guys who are more so not ball handlers in a position to create offense, if that makes sense. So it's not a lack of effort, as with last year, where it was like, holy hell, wake up.
Yeah.
At least that's how I see it. I don't know how you see it.
Yeah, no, I agree. Anybody else who's on here as a speaker want to hop in? Any thoughts from tonight about the team,
anything going forward? One more thing I wanted to say was Jaden Epps was giving me like Dimitri McKamey vibes, where he just wanted the ball in his hand and he.
That's a good comp, actually.
He just seemed like a veteran out there. And I think this is going to be a huge wake-up for Sky Clark. I mean, yeah. One thing I do think Jaden Epps needs to work on is getting it to Dane when he's got that first look in the post.
Yeah.
He's not very good at seeing that. But other than that, he's been solid.
A-plus. Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah, I was just going to ask you guys, do you think Jaden Epps earned himself a start this weekend at Penn State?
I don't think so, because I think if it's not broke, don't, you know, change it up. Yeah, I think he's really good like off the bench. Yeah, I think, yeah. You know, you're going to have to bring one of them off the bench, because if you play them together as a starter, who's going to be the backup point guard? So unfortunately, you have to play one of them off the bench. I just don't think, since he's played so well off the bench, that we need to change it. And it's not like Sky's been you know, serviceable, I would say. Go ahead.
I thought he played well until the second half. He started crumbling a little bit with the turnovers, kind of forgot how to dribble and where to dribble. and honestly, I thought there were
a few happened times. A couple times.
I think he got tired, to be quite honest.
Yeah. It stuck out like his off-ball denial a few times on defense was really impressive for a freshman. And he hit a step back three that I was like, yeah, that's a five star freshman. Like he still has enough moments for me, where I'm like that kid is going to be legit. And you kind of have to ride the waves of a freshman point guard a little bit here and there. And I thought taking him out tonight, was a smart decision just because of the turnovers. It's being a little careless with the ball, as opposed to the Maryland game. We were like, why wasn't Sky out there? but this one I felt like was a bit more deserved. I still like Sky a lot and think he gives you a lot, just with his size and his shot making when he's on, and a little bit of his playmaking, but the turnovers for a freshman can be tough. So I'm not too worried about Sky. It's a hard game.
But who would have guessed that out of the four freshmen, you know, Sky Clark, Sincere Harris, Jaden Epps, Ty Rogers, that it would be Epps and Harris, you know, making the biggest impact. You know, Rogers does a lot of the small things, but the guy is just a zero on offense at this point. Yeah. I mean, that jump shot is...
It's bad.
it's not good.
It's real bad, yeah.
But
Epps... That's me, yeah. That's kind of a shock, but I kind of had a feeling Harris was going to be a stud, especially coming out of that exhibition game. I quite liked his play style. Reminded me of a little Little Trent Frazier. That's what I always call him, Little Trent.
Bro. Stop with the Trent. No, that is my most debated. Because he's lefty and wears the number one.
That, and he plays defense. Right.
And he plays defense.
Oh, yes. Okay. He plays defense. So does a lot of other people.
The Armchair Illini Podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best online ticketing site you can find. Why? Well, because it pulls from every other available ticketing site to give you the best price possible. There's no need anymore to check out 10 different ticketing sites to find the deal you're looking for. SeatGeek basically does all of that for you. Not only that, but SeatGeek has a value system sorted by color to let you know if you are actually getting a good deal on your tickets or not. You can sort by best value, lowest price, and more. Now here's the best part. If you use code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, you can get $20 off your first order. So what are you waiting for? Attend your next unforgettable sporting event or concert by checking out SeatGeek today. Again, use promo code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, and get $20 off your first order.